Hello, everyone that is listening to this. Welcome back to Courtney's Thoughts. I am so freaking happy that Cody freaking Rhodes, okay, finished the story. I am so freaking happy. Oh my God, WrestleMania 40 has been great. It really was a good PLE. Very, very freaking good. My first time ever really watching WrestleMania was WrestleMania 34 when I first came back into watching wrestling. And so from 34 to 40, in terms of like what has been, you know, good, bad, and all, obviously, bad was 36, and that has nothing to do with the company at all. It has everything to do with COVID. Like, that lockdown messed up everyone on that one. And so, to have, you know, in terms of, like, in terms of watching the WrestleManias, like, when I look back since 34, like, WrestleMania 40 was just... it was just great. Last year was good because of the momentum of the Bloodline story. For night one to have the tag team match main event and giving you the opportunity of thinking that Cody Rhodes was going to get the title that year, and for him to not win at the last minute, and I say this, it was probably due to Vince McMahon and him selling, you know, selling it to Endeavor, or TKO, whichever one. For the last minute change, in my opinion, that, you know, in my opinion, pissed me off. It really did. So for, you know, to wait another year for the story to finally finish, I'm just so happy. I cried when Cody Rhodes pinned Roman Reigns and got the title. I am so freaking happy that both, I'm so happy for both men because one, Roman Reigns held it down for 4 years, okay? He came back around September 2020, obviously during the lockdown. It was an issue for everyone, including him, because one, he has leukemia. He was in remission, but he's now taking medication in order for where he has to take it forever until he passes. And so for him to, like, be very cautious during COVID, for him to come back in 2020 to get the title and for him to turn heel, holy, like, here's the thing, the idea of Roman Reigns for years, it was always John Cena as the face of the company, right? Especially during the PG era, because everything was like catered to kids and censorship had to be very restricted and limited in terms of what could be shown, what could be seen, how you're supposed to hit, move, all of that, right? Like, it's still wrestling, but at the same time, it wasn't, there was a lot of stuff that a lot of people didn't like. And so, with John Cena as the face and being an ultimate face, like, it was very oversaturated in that regard. And so, you didn't really have the so-called joy of wrestling, quote-unquote, right? So, when Vince McMahon was trying to put Roman Reigns as the face of the company, which is fine when you look back at it now, for him to try to go for it, It didn't register with the audience. It did not register at all. It did not matter if Roman was a heel. It did not matter if he was a face. It was just not registering. And not only that, because of the fact that he was being pushed as the ultimate face, it really, really did not work. A lot of fans say that, you know, he should be heel. He should be like the bad one. And because he looks better the way how his aesthetic, the way how he looks, he could be a babyface, of course, but it wouldn't be. It, like, if you really want to look at it, compared to his other S.H.I.E.L.D. members, which was Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins is more of a face than Roman Reigns. And so, when you look at it, it wouldn't look right for Roman. So, for him in 2020 to come back as a heel and get the title from Braun Strowman, it was really, really, like, it started, and it just, like, I'm looking at this, and I'm like, holy, like, he is, like, it's legit. And for them to even put Paul Heyman next to him, it solidified, like, it was convincing enough. Putting Paul Heyman next to Roman Reigns and have it be spearheaded to what it is now, up until tonight, perfect. It was great. It's just, you can never duplicate that again, unless you have somebody that, of course, is better than Roman Reigns when it comes to everything, when it comes to his body of work of being a you know, wrestler, his promo work, when it comes to cutting the mic, all of that. Like, unless you find someone that can be a better Roman Reigns, no one else can top what he has done for the past 4 years. Period, point blank. No one can. It does not matter if you're a heel. It does not matter if you're a face. No one can top that. Period. So for that coming about, and the storyline, and the way how the Bloodline storyline came up, and the way how it kept pushing, and everything, like, up until, like, everything till, like, WrestleMania 38. Like, WrestleMania 38, it showed that Roman Reigns will never be dethroned. The way how he won that match between him and Brock Lesnar. Like, no one else. Everyone is like, who can top Roman? Who can top Roman? And then, what's crazy is that when the same night he became undisputed was the same night that Cody Rhodes came back and said, I am here, and I am here to be at the top, and I am here to get the top title, and I am here to make sure that my legacy and that my father's legacy is solidified by being here and letting y'all know that even though my dad had his reign here, I am going to try to get it and top it and become what it become mine. And him debuting at that time is crazy, and it's great to see the momentum of, like, everything, you know. Tonight was just, I think tonight was a little bit smoother than last night. Last night was like, I think last night had an extra match, cause, or am I tripping? Like, last night it was Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. It was the tag team titles match. It was Rey Mysterio and Andrade versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. So that's four. Then you had the IC title, you had the Jay Cargill, Bianca Belair, Naomi versus Damage Control. So that's five matches altogether. Then you had Sami Zayn versus Gunther, number six. And then you had the tag match, which is Roman Reigns and The Rock versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. So yeah. Oh my God, excuse me. I had to sneeze. Oh, excuse me. Sorry. So, yeah, like, yeah, so it was seven matches last night. And then tonight you had The Pride, which is the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley with B-Fab going against the Final Testament, which is AOP, Ellering, and then Karrion Kross and Scarlett. And so it was a street match, and it was good. Bubba Ray, aka Bully Ray Dudley, he was the special ref for the street fight, which was nice. No one knew about it unless it was shown on social media, but I didn't check my social media, so I didn't know. So for him to come out was a great surprise, and it was great that it wasn't spoiled, so that was good. What else was tonight? It was the AJ Styles versus LA Knight, and then the United States Championship match, which was Logan Paul, Randy Orton, and Kevin Owens, and then EO versus Bayley, and then the main event, which is Cody and Seth. So yeah, I think it was smoother here. And Seth Rollins. No, you know what? It really was 7-7. It's just that this night, the second night, was a little bit much smoother than the first night. So yeah, so it was 7-7 altogether, I think, which was great to see, to understand. Like, yeah, to see the matches was fine. I was scared for the Bayley match because I didn't think if the audience would support Bayley. Even though both wrestlers are great, I didn't think that they would support her, and I didn't think she was going to win, unfortunately. And I'm so happy she did win, because it really was a good match between her and Io Sky. The first match, which was the World Heavyweight Championship, which was Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. That match was freaking great. And Drew winning was so, like, it was like a full circle, so to speak, because, like, one, he didn't get his opportunity to win against the, in front of the big crowd for WrestleMania 36 because of COVID. So, and he was that year's Royal Rumble winner, and he was going against Brock Lesnar. So for him not to get that opportunity to win the title in front of everyone, it was just an unfortunate loss. And I feel, you know, I felt bad for him. So for him to win tonight against Seth, holy shit, I didn't think he was going to win. For me, I thought that Seth was going to retain, right? Then Damian was going to come out and cash and possibly get it, okay? But I don't know if Seth Rollins is like, I don't want to get pinned under Damian as champ. I'd rather lose to Drew, and then y'all can do whatever. And I think that's what happened, because Drew won, and then, like, maybe five minutes later, Drew was facing, not facing, but he was confronting CM Punk, and CM Punk whooped him up, and then Damian Priest came out and cashed in and did his couple of moves on Drew McIntyre and won. So for Drew to be there for, like, between, I say, 2 to 5 minutes of being a champ and then losing in one in the same night is crazy. So congrats to Damian, because congrats to Damian on winning. It sucks for Drew. I don't think Drew, I know Drew wants to be champ, obviously, but, like, I don't know about his, when it comes to his contract, I don't know if he was trying to take a break and he's like, you know what, I'll do this for a couple of whatever and then I'll take my break. For Damian to win, I was like, finally, he could cash it in and he could do whatever. Because, one, you didn't know if he had the opportunity to cash in on the mid-cards, which was the Intercontinental Championship and the U.S. Championship. So you didn't know if he was going to cash in on those titles, even though he has the opportunity to do that. Or it was because of the fact that Austin Theory wasn't pushed enough, they made that option only for Austin Theory. So I assume he could, Damian Priest could also do it for his money in a bank. But for him to cash it in and finally get the title, I'm happy. I'm happy they could do it. I am kind of like tired of Judgment Day, so to speak. Like, I am kind of tired of it. I do need someone from that group to defect, because, like, I am just I am just ready to see what they could do solo, in a solo sense, or tag match, depending on who's going to be in the tag matches, because I am kind of tired of the stable, but, like, the Bloodline been there for, like, 4 years, so why not have Judgment Day, right? Judgment Day been there for, like, almost 2 years, I think. If not 2 years, then maybe 2.5, I could be wrong, but yeah, might as well have that, right? So yeah, Damian won that. I will say that, in terms of Money in the Bank, the next Money in the Bank, I have no one really on the men's side who can possibly win it, even though there are a lot of potentials. Like, you have Ricochet, who might get pushed. You have LA Knight. You have Randy Orton. You have Kevin Owens. You have even Seth Rollins. You have multiple people, especially like Bobby Lashley, Karrion Kross, anybody from that's coming up from NXT. You have potentials. Bron Breakker, I think. I'm ready for him to, like, explode. Like, he's going to be freaking epic. I'm waiting for him to come up. Like, there's so many people that can possibly win this Money in the Bank. So I'm trying to figure out, like, I honestly don't have no, like, 1, 2, or 3 in terms of, like, a potential pick to win this year's Money in the Bank. Now, the women's Money in the Bank is different because, one, is less, you got less selects, you got a less selection. A lot of people are favoring Tiffany Stratton, which I do not mind winning. A lot of people are also favoring Dakota Kai. They're favoring Jade Cargill. They're favoring Bianca Belair. Again, I do not mind any of these people winning. I don't mind Shayna Baszler winning. There's so many good choices on the women's side to, like, it doesn't matter if they're heel or face, to just see them win and for them to really get into it, for, you know, so that way they could go against either Rhea or Bayley. It would be really great to see where they can go from there in terms of, like, who can win and who they're going to go against. So it'll be great to see that. Overall, I will say this on the pay-per-view, like, I liked it. I loved it. I think the next year they're going to be in Minnesota, I think. Because there was news that they chose Minnesota for the next Super Bowl, which is fine. Yeah, I don't know what's gonna happen tomorrow. Hopefully we'll get some call ups, because, like, Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes, even though I think Carmelo's already on SmackDown, it'd be great to just see them in full matches on Raw. Bronson Reed came because of the fact that he won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. I do think he needs to be in the title match. I think he needs to go against Sami Zayn in particular. Like, he needs to go. Like, he needs to get his title shot, because I'm tired of seeing him right there and he's not getting any type of, like, he's always in a potential match for a contender match. Like, he's always there for a contender match, but he never gets the opportunity to, like, really, really go for a title. So I would love to see Bronson Reed get his little push as well. So yeah, I can't wait for tomorrow. Like, it's going to be crazy. Who knows if Roman Reigns is going to come back and try to, like, I don't think he's coming back to get, like, a title shot. I do think, however, that Solo Sikoa is going to get it. Like, they're going to push him to go against Cody. Like, it has to be him going against Cody. Because there's no way where you're going to do all that, go against the Tribal Chief, win against the Tribal Chief, and not go for a Sergeant at Arms. Like, that's crazy. So Solo Sikoa is going to be the next, in my opinion, is going to be the next opponent for Cody Rhodes. For Damian Priest, though, I'm who on Raw is really going to get that opportunity? I'm trying to figure out. Because, especially on the face side, I would love to. The thing is that I would love to see Randy Orton going against Damian Priest. I would love to see Kevin Owens going against Damian Priest. I will, even though they're all on SmackDown, unfortunately, now. I would love to see LA Knight, again, another SmackDown dude. I would love to see Bobby Lashley going against them. I would, like, there's so many, again, there's so many freaking choices. Like, We gotta push somebody up there. Like, it needs to happen. For Rhea? Now, okay. Because, like, for both the women's titles, like, for Rhea, there's so many people that can go against Rhea. But they will not, I don't know why they won't let them dethrone Rhea. Like, I do think, even though she's great right now, I don't know if they're going to, if they're just stalling and waiting for Charlotte to, like, be fully recovered, have her come back, and have her match. But there's a lot of people that I think could dethrone Rhea. One of them is Shayna Baszler, but she's not a face, she's more of a heel. And so having two heels going against each other is not, it's not going to be good. Right, so you have to, like, really try to find someone that could go against her. Even though Nia Jax is also a good contender, like, they don't like Nia, so I guess the heel versus heel thing is cool, but at the same time, like, you know, you want to see something, you know. It would be great to see Bianca switch and for have her to go to Raw and have her go against Rhea. I think it's time to have Bianca versus Rhea. I'm just ready to see that. For Bayley, there's so many potentials. Holy shit. Like, Tiffany Stratton, for instance, like, her versus Bayley would be so freaking good. I would love to see her versus Bayley. Jade Cargill versus Bayley would be good. But the thing is that, it, you know, because of the fact that Bayley is now a face, you gotta put Jade as a heel, and even though that's kind of, like, crazy, like, a lot of people still don't like Jade for, because of the fact that she is, still green, so to speak, but, she has been rocking her training, you can tell, just by the way how she was moving, even though it was limited or whatever, it was good enough to have those freaking lands and have those freaking moveset, like, the way how it looks. So, yeah, we'll see on that part. And I'm trying to figure out, in terms of NXT, who would be, like, the call-up? Like, who would be, you know, like, who would be called up? Like, Roxanne Perez, which would be great from main roster, just won the NXT Women's Championship. So she's going to be there for a few months, in my opinion. I think she's going to be there until, like, SummerSlam, because they usually call them up after SummerSlam, too. So who knows? They just introduced the NXT North American Championship for the women's side, so that's fine, too. So I'm trying to figure out. I would love to see Gigi Dolan to, like, move up, though. I would, like, the one person, I will say this, though. The one person that could have easily been on the main roster right now and is not, because of the fact that she is so injury-prone right now, is Nikita Lyons. Nikita Lyons could have easily be where Tiffany Stratton is right now in terms of being called up and waiting to be in the Money in the Bank match. Period. She has the look, and she could easily be called up. But because of the fact that she is so injury prone, it's not believable anymore. You're not getting the audience anymore. No one really cares anymore now, because they see everyone else doing their thing and showing up and showing out and making sure that they are known. Period. So yeah, I'm ready for the women's division in particular is really, really good, and I can't wait for more. So yeah, that's my thoughts for tonight. Again, WrestleMania 40 was so freaking good. I cried. The appearances of The Rock, John Cena, Undertaker, it was really, really great to see the ending like that and have Cody Rhodes finish his story. I am proud to be a wrestling fan. I love it. I am ready. And thank you so much.